My good friend and colleague, Dr. Roger Nishioka, has been a leader in the Presbyterian Church nationally and internationally for now more than 30 years, particularly in the field of youth ministry, but more broadly in Christian education. He worked at the denomination's offices for many years and then taught at one of our seminaries in Atlanta. He now teaches on the faculty of one of our largest Presbyterian churches in Kansas City. Roger tells the story of a family that attended one of the churches where he worked several years ago, a family that included a ninth grade boy named Kyle. Because he was in ninth grade and because it was the tradition of that church, Kyle was in the confirmation class. And so throughout the entire year, Kyle attended, and at the end of that year, as often happens, there was a particular service of worship in which Kyle was confirmed. And because, for whatever reason, he hadn't been baptized as a child or as an infant, as a part of that confirmation service as a ninth grader, he was also baptized on that Sunday. It was a wonderful celebration for Kyle and his other peers who were a part of the class that year. But then Roger noticed that the next Sunday, the family wasn't at church. And then the Sunday after that, and then this Sunday after that. And this went on for several weeks that Roger didn't see Kyle or his family. He thought it was rather odd because everything seemed to have gone so well and he'd had such a positive experience. Roger finally contacted the family and said he wondered if he might come over for a visit. And the family said, sure, that would be fine. And so Roger went over one evening after work and sat down to visit with the family over a cup of tea and expressed his surprise and pastoral concern that he hadn't seen the family in a while. Oh, they said, rather surprised and a little shocked. Well, we thought Kyle was done. Done? Roger asked politely. Well, yeah. He got confirmed. He got baptized. We checked the box. We thought he was done. I see, Roger said, and then began very carefully and thoughtfully to explain to them a different way to think about confirmation and especially to think about baptism. That baptism is not the completion of a journey, it's not the destination that we arrive at. Really, baptism might be considered instead the beginning of our journey of faith. We're just getting started. In fact, because we had a wedding right here on these steps yesterday here at First Presbyterian, I've been thinking a little bit about weddings and wedding vows, and it seems to me, though imperfect, perhaps a helpful analogy to compare the vows and the rituals that we experience in baptism in a similar way to the vows and the ritual that we experience in a marriage. That is, we all know that regardless of what age or life experience, when a couple comes and pledges vows to one another in a wedding ceremony, that is not the end of their journey, of their relationship, is it? No, far from it. It is only the beginning of the challenges and the joys and the experiences that will be a part of their everyday life, hopefully for many, many years to come. And in a similar way, the vows that we make or that our parents make on our behalf, the experience that we have in the sacrament of baptism are meant to be the beginning of a journey. But of course, that journey's hard. We have no idea even yet what we will experience in the challenges of the days and weeks and years to come. And so, again, in a similar way to a couple that might decide to renew their wedding vows, they're not getting married again. They're simply taking a moment to double down, to renew the commitment that they initially made as a way to sort of relaunch themselves into the next chapter or season of their life. And in a similar way, this morning, you'll be invited to participate in a renewal of baptism service. To be clear, we're not re-baptizing you. Now, there are some church traditions that believe that if you weren't baptized in their church, it doesn't count. And if you want to become a member of their church, you have to get rebaptized by them in their church. We're not one of those churches. We believe that no matter what your experience of baptism was, whether it was as an infant or a child or as an adult, whether you were baptized Catholic or Baptist, Methodist or Episcopalian, Presbyterian, or like me, Pentecostal, dunked into a lake at summer camp as an 11-year-old, whatever it was, it counts. Because it is the same one God, one Lord, one baptism as the choir just sang. However, there can be times and seasons in our lives when we benefit from the opportunity to recommit ourselves, to be renewed in those baptismal vows, and to be reminded again, because of course the journey ahead is always a challenge. And so this morning, following scripture and a few words of a sermon, we'll pray, we'll have an opportunity to renew our vows together, and then you're going to be invited, if you wish, to come forward. The two center sections will come down the center aisle, the far section will come down the far aisle, and at each place there will be a station where either myself or Glenn Parika, our parish associate, or Marge Rice, our director of caring, will be there, and we'll dip our hand into the water as you come forward. We'll cross your forehead with the water and say to you again, God's beloved, remember your baptism and be glad. And then we will place into your hand a little glass bead, a kind of glass water drop, if you will, that you can take with you and hold, perhaps keep in your pocket or on your dresser or on your sink next to your bathroom mirror, but just a small symbol that can be a daily reminder for you of the power of God's love in your life and the transformation born in your life through the experience of baptism. Now, if you have not been baptized, you're still welcome to come forward for a blessing. If you've not been baptized and you would like to explore the possibility of baptism, to ask questions, to seek to be baptized, please come find me today or this week or in the weeks ahead, and I would be happy to explore that with you. But for those who have been baptized, that's the idea this morning behind this service of renewal of baptismal vows. So, with that in mind, we turn to Scripture. And this morning, as we've been following the life of Jesus through the Gospel of Matthew, we turn to Matthew chapter 3, and I'll be reading from verses 13 to 17. Listen to the Word of God for us today. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, for you alone are our rock and our redeemer. And let all God's people say, amen. Well, it's good to be back, and I'm grateful to friends and colleagues, Reverend Ron Sisk, who preached on December 30th, and Reverend Glenn Parika this past week. And as you've experienced, if you've been here, we are going to be tracing the life of Jesus through the Gospel of Matthew for 4 months, starting with Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 on December 30th, and carrying us all the way through the Holy Week experience of Jesus as told by Matthew, the resurrection text of Jesus, spoiler alert, on Easter Sunday through the lens of the Gospel of Matthew, and even the Sunday following in the story of the Great Commission. So all the way through the end of April, we will now be tracing the life of Jesus in Matthew's gospel, which, to be fair, meant that we had to start with the first half of chapter 1, the genealogy of Jesus, the text that was given to Ron Siss 2 weeks ago, which I was told he was a big whiner about. But that's a great text, and he was lucky to have it, Ron. And so today we find ourselves at chapter 3. And as happens with each of the Gospels, we find ourselves now at a point in Jesus' life which frankly is a little puzzling, because we can almost still hear the refrains of silent nights and almost still remember the glow of candlelight when Jesus was born, that tiny infant. And now all of a sudden, just a couple weeks later, he's a man. Some 30-ish years old, we're told. Well, what happened in the in-between time? We know almost nothing about the early life of Jesus. There are just a couple of glimmers in the gospel. There's lots of stories in other ancient texts that tell about some of the legends or myths about the childhood of Jesus. But the truth is, we don't know what happened. We might reasonably suspect that he grew up the son of his earthly father, who was a tradesman, a carpenter, probably an apprentice in that trade. There are some stories told of him traveling and learning in other places or traditions, but we don't know. And so equally, we don't know what it is that prompts him on this day to go and seek out his cousin John and to choose to be baptized and now to begin what will be a journey over several years of an extraordinary life and ministry. And yet, that's exactly what he does. He makes that choice on this day. And it's with that kind of lens in mind that author and speaker Debbie Thomas reflects on what it is we experience in baptism. This is the way she puts it. Debbie writes, "I always, always have a choice. And most of the time, I don't want it. I expect God's revelations to bowl me over, to dominate my landscape, such that I am left choiceless, powerless, sinless, freed of all doubts and pulsing with faith. But no, God has not insulted humanity with so little agency. We get to choose. No matter how many times God shows up, I'm free to ignore him. No matter how often he calls me beloved, I can choose self-loathing instead. No matter how many times I remember my baptism, I'm capable of dredging out of the water the very sludge I first threw in. No matter how often I affirm or reaffirm my vows to seek and serve Christ in all persons, I am at liberty to reject others and simply walk away. We always have the choice to follow Christ or not, to commit ourselves as disciples to a life of generosity and compassion and kindness or not. Life is full of challenges, and there are lots of competing voices and values that we encounter every day. So, what do we do? Well, personally, I think a wonderful thing to do is to gather with our family of faith and to choose to be renewed in our faith so that we might be refreshed and restored for the journey ahead. And that's exactly what we'll do today. Because the reality is, however our journey has begun in this life of faith, there are an awful lot of competing voices and values that call for our attention, some of which Glenn hinted at in his prayer just a few moments ago. There are the voices that call out to us seductively, that tell us that what matters in our life is our significance, our success, our status, our security. That those are the things that will be the mark of what the world calls success. There are other voices that call out to us that tell us that we don't matter, that we'll never be strong or faithful enough as Christ's disciples to truly be able to follow in the way of Jesus. And even if we did, our little lives could hardly make a dent in what's going on in the rest of the world anyway. So why even try? There are lots of voices that call for our attention. And so as we try to seek out the voice of our Creator God, who calls to us to renew us in this moment of baptism, it's hard to know which voice to pay attention to. So this morning, we're invited into this space where we can remember again, as Christ does at the beginning of his journey, who and whose he is. That he is a child of the Creator God, like we are. And perhaps most importantly, as the skies open and the Spirit of God descends, it's the voice of God that calls out and calls him, my beloved. Oh, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. And in the same way that a child's trajectory in life so much depends on standing on the solid foundation of his or her parents' love for them, so too our trajectory in our spiritual life is always founded on the solid rock of God's love for us, to strengthen and empower and encourage us for the journey ahead. Several years ago, my wife Miriam decided to run the Chicago Marathon. As she was preparing for the race, some of her friends in her running group told her that one of the things she should do is to take a black Sharpie pen and to write her name on each of her arms. M-I-R-I-A-M, down each of her arms, which I thought was a little odd. But then I assumed that probably the reason for that was so that at about mile 22 or 23, loved ones could identify the bodies of that sweating, sobbing pile of humanity on the side of the road who had realized how ridiculous it was to try to run 26.2 miles. But I was wrong. It turns out that the reason why runners write their names on their arms for the Chicago Marathon is because as they're running the race, the million-plus people that come out to stand along the entire roadway of those 26.2 miles see your name, and they can call out to you by name to encourage you. People who are total strangers, people who've never met you, don't know anything about you, who you are, how well you've trained, whether you're likely to finish or not, total strangers see your name and can call you by name and cheer you on. Go, Miriam. You got this, Miriam. Keep running, Miriam. You look strong, Miriam. You're going to finish, Miriam. And when she finished the race, Miriam told me what an extraordinary experience it was to hear people call her by name and to encourage her and strengthen her and cheer her on. And in the same way, I think, we experience in Christ's baptism and in ours that God calls to us by name. My beloved, you got this. My beloved, keep running. My beloved, you look great. You're running strong. You're going to finish the race. And indeed, together we will, as Christ's disciples, run the race that is set before us with perseverance. Together we will run the race, empowered by our Creator God who claims us in the waters of baptism, pledging again to follow the example of the Christ who lived among us and empowered, refreshed, and renewed by the Holy Spirit that descends and accompanies us all the days of our life. Let us pray. Eternal and gracious God, we give you thanks for in countless ways you have revealed yourself to us in ages past and blessed us with the signs of your grace. We praise you that through the waters of the sea you led your people Israel out of bondage into freedom in the land of your promise. We praise you for sending Jesus your Son, who for us was baptized in the waters of the Jordan and was anointed as the Christ by your Holy Spirit. Through the baptism of his death and resurrection, you set us free from the bondage of sin and death and give us cleansing and rebirth. We praise you that in baptism you give us your Spirit, who teaches us and leads us into all truth, filling us with a variety of gifts that we might proclaim the gospel to all nations and serve you as a royal priesthood. Pour out your Spirit upon us and upon this water, that this font may be a place of new birth. May all who pass through these waters be delivered from life to death, from bondage to freedom, from sin to righteousness. Bind them to the household of faith and guard them from all evil. Strengthen them to serve you with joy until the day you make all things new. To you be all praise and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Savior, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forevermore. Amen.